Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, my brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ramadan is passing by and we need to make sure we are benefiting from all its blessings. In the last few days, we've been talking about the feast of Ramadan and how we can make use of this feast. In every gathering or feast or party, there is a table of food or refreshment, or what we call it as sufra, a tablecloth which is laid down and guests would sit around it and enjoy what's on it. The question is, what is the table of Allah in His feast of Ramadan? Or rather, what is on the table of Allah and what is on the sufra of Allah from which the guests can benefit? This is the question we are going to talk about, inshallah, today. Islamic teaching, Quran and the Ahlul Bayt have been telling us that the core food that is present on the sufra and table of Allah in His feast of Ramadan is Quran. This is the Quran from which the guests of Allah can benefit and take their provisions and aliments. You see, depending on how generous the host is, the table he provides for you is different. Now, Allah is the most merciful, Arhamur Rahimin, and His feast is the best of the feasts, and therefore what He puts forward for you has to be the best. Hence, the Quran is the sufra of Allah. What you see on the sufra of Allah and table of Allah in this month is Quran, in which you can find everything that we need. This is what Quran says, لا رتب ولا يابس إلا في كتاب المبين. There is no dry or green thing, but it's been written in the book.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Can I ask you, what changes does the holy month of Ramadan bring into your life, brother?
The holy month of Ramadan is one of the four holy months in Islamic calendar, and it brings purity to the body because of the way we have to fast. And within it, there are many important dates. For example, the nights of the Qadr, the passing away of Imam Ali, the first Imam, and many more occasions where it's an important month that we use as Muslims to reset our mind and our body. And it helps us to come back closer to Allah. And we have to remember that the things that we do in month of Ramadan, we can continue throughout the year. So it's not just a month that we are trying to be good in, and then once the month is finished we can go back to old habits which are bad or whatever. We have to continue those good habits that we pick up in the month of Ramadan and continue it throughout the year, inshallah.
It's remembering the day of judgment, how you're going to be stood hungry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask why you answer these questions.
Personally, the closest thing from my personal experience I can compare it to is there are two months in general that I always look forward to throughout the whole year. I call them the meditating months for me personally. One is Ramadan and the other is Muharram. The closest experience I could compare it to would be probably the school holidays. When I was a child, I always looked forward to the school holidays. Couldn't wait till the school finished so we can enjoy our holidays. And that's what I could compare it to, the joy and the relief that it brings for me during these 2 months.
We said Quran is the table or sufra of Allah, which He puts forward for His guests in His feast of Ramadan. We can find everything in the Quran. Quran is the source of provision, benefits, and enjoyment for the guests of Allah. But the question is, are we ready for this sufra table? Are we ready to sit around this table and benefit from its blessings? We need to cleanse our hearts and minds to be able to use from this source of provision and benefits. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Ya muslimin sallu alayhi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa sahbihi Muhammad. Ya mu'minin sallu alayhi.
السميع العليم من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم السلام على خير خلقه وخاتم أنبيائه ورسله، نبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين وأصحابه المنتجبين، وعلى جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين. Respected viewers, brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Why fasting? Why the month of Ramadan? What makes it so special? What makes it stand out when it comes to the other acts of devotion and prayer? The key and the secrets of fasting are many, yet they are presented to us by the glorious, infallible Ma'sumeen, peace and blessings be upon them. Examine the famous sermon of Sayyidatu Nisa al-Alameen, Fatimatu al-Zahra, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayha. When she stood to demand for her right, when she stood against oppression and injustice, but she began the sermon by highlighting the philosophy and the reasoning behind certain actions that are obligatory in the religion of Islam. Sayyida Fatima salamullahi alayha says, فَرَضَ اللَّهُ الصِّيَامَ تَثْبِيتًا لِلْإِخْلَاصِ, that Allah has made fasting obligatory in order to strengthen sincerity. Why sincerity in the month of Ramadan? Because as opposed to other actions which may be presented for the sake of others, like for instance prayers, we may do the prayers in order for others to see how prolonged our sajda is. Or we may go to Hajj in order to somewhat practice ostentation, or otherwise known as showing off, riya, so that people say that we are those who frequently visit the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What stands out when it comes to fasting is the fact that when you and I observe the siyam, people do not necessarily know that we are abstaining from food and drink unless we tell them, unless we utter. I recall that once an individual was performing his prayers and another man came inside the mosque and said, look how wonderful this man is as far as his prayers and as far as his attention to salah is concerned. And the man who was praying was so overwhelmed with these words that in his prayers started speaking to the man and said, by the way, I am also fasting. And that was the only way that he could actually exclaim the fact that he was fasting. Yet Sayyida Fatima, peace and blessings be upon her, here is saying to us that this element of sincerity is profound and it's quite important when it comes to fasting, that the month of Ramadan is a school of sincerity and ikhlas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلِلَّهِ الدِّينُ الْخَالِصِ, to To Allah belongs the religion which is pure, which is unadulterated, which is pristine, which is performed for His sake and for His sake alone. The dangers of ostentation and showing off are such that, we are told in hadith, it can creep in the minds and in the hearts of human beings, just like how a black ant who is sitting on a rock in a dark night cannot be picked out. This is how it is that the month of Ramadan enables us to ask ourselves a very prudent, important question. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Who am I doing it for? What will I be seeking to attain afterwards? The importance of ikhlas is demonstrated by the realization that our deeds on the Day of Judgment will be judged according to our intentions. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَلِكُلِّ مْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ says, if you want to look at the actions, and if you want to see how the religion of Islam differs from other faiths and other systems, we are told the religion of Islam does not only look at the action and whether itself it's good, but also we need to scrutinize our intentions and whether our intentions are for the sake of Allah. In other words, if on the Day of Judgment, we are told in narrations that if a human being had performed their deeds throughout their lives, if they had done it so that others would tap them on the back, if they had done it so that they can get some praise, and they had indeed made partners with Allah when it comes to their niyyah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment will say to them, go to those human beings that you sought their praise, see whether they can help. The human being, therefore, is under this recognition that if the action is pure and if it is done for the sake of Allah, this is the prerequisite for its acceptance. Fasting helps us to ask ourselves, are we mukhlis? Are we sincere? And if not, why not? And if not, are we able to take this month, the month of Ramadan, as a prelude to establish sincerity in our actions, in our hearts, in our endeavors, in our lives? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, that whomsoever wants to attain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Make sure that he or she does not associate anything or anyone with the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala if we want that liqa'ullah, that meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best possible way on the day of judgment. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصل اللهم على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين.
رمضان تجلى وبدا سما طبال العبد إذا ارتسما. رمضان تجلى وبدا سما طبال العبد.
Quran is the source of knowledge and wisdom. It is the unique source of guidance which aims to take the humanity to the highest level of possible. And therefore, we need to teach our children about this Quran. We need to teach our children about this source of provision, blessing, and wisdom. And Ramadan is the best time to sit down with our children, speak to them, teach them about Quran and what it contains.
Since I was younger, I noticed that during this month, there is a greater spiritual feeling. Now, this is due to Allah, of course. Allah brings about this feeling into the people. And it could be because of many of the other factors that are in place. Now, Allah has taught us through the Prophet that shaitan and the shayateen are chained up. So it becomes easier for us to do good deeds. And the committing of good deeds and the performance of good deeds means that the community as a whole feels more spiritual, and that's a very big impact that we have upon us. Another feature of this month is that it takes us out of our routine. And anyone who's taken out of their routine, for example, if a person goes from their homeland to another land, they're taken out of their comfort zone and it makes them think about things. So it's a time to reassess things within their life.
I read the hadith which says, the day of judgment, there will be so much thirst and hunger that it will be unbearable. It's about preparing ourselves for that day, so that when we bear this this thirst and hunger in this life, so that we hopefully, inshallah, will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save us from that day's thirst and hunger.
The holy month of Ramadan is, I would call it, a month of struggle. And because the thirst reminds you of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, it's as if you are on a battlefield, basically. And I would say it is intertwined with Muharram, but Ramadan is a time for family to get together. It's a time for spirituality. It's a time for Salat al-Layl if we don't pray Salat al-Layl. Maybe if we don't pray Salat al-Layl throughout the whole year, maybe Ramadan is the right time to start.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. We have been talking about Ramadan. We have been talking a lot about nutrition. We have been talking a lot about hydration. And we've been talking a lot about what we need to be really doing in Ramadan in terms of our activity levels. This time around, I will continue my discussion from our eating habits at iftar time. And I will talk about as to what happens after. Of course, there is Taraweeh to deal with, and then we talk about what food to have, what sort of activity to be going into when you want to maintain some good physical levels during Ramadan. So again, we've touched on hydration, which I will stress again, very important during Ramadan to maintain good hydration levels. Make sure you have at least 10 glasses of water in the period you're allowed to eat and drink. Spread them evenly. It's a lot easier. It's a lot better to have water spread evenly instead of having 10 glasses of water in one time. We need to make sure that whenever we're eating healthy. We talked about hydration can come from different forms, such as dates, etc. Not just from water, some fruit juices, but try not to have fizzy drinks or caffeine drinks. Caffeine is the last thing you want during Ramadan. Now, coming back to the foods that we're supposed to be having at iftar time, apart from having a date, we said, okay, let's do something in the next 30 minutes after we've had dates, so I would ideally go for prayers. So we come back to have foods which have simple carbohydrates. So we talked about having honey, having some form of milk, honey, even some basic sugar, which gives you that kick. That's what you need. Apart from having simple carbohydrates, which your body needs to actually get some energy, you also need protein. Now, what most people, if people are training off Ramadan, they try to use Ramadan as an excuse to actually not train. But it's something, if you're doing, that is fine. But if you're trying to train during Ramadan, you need to make sure that to retain the right energy levels and to prevent muscle breakdown, you need to make sure your protein levels are up there. Now, generally, depending on your level of training, you would target roughly about, depending on your weight, 1.2 times the percentage of your body weight. So let's say if your body weight is 70 kilograms, you need to have roughly about 95, 98 grams of protein in a day. Now, the worst thing is, and the most difficult thing is to actually calculate the amount of protein you're having in a day. But you can always estimate. I do that from time to time. Whenever I'm eating a meal, I try to estimate. I can give you estimates which will help you to find out as to what really you're having. And now this is mostly for people who are looking to continue the training during Ramadan, but it's also for people who are some sort of involved in some sort of activity or who are active people. So yes, protein level is, you need to make sure you maintain good form of protein level. Do not break down your muscle mass. Muscle breakage is the last thing you want during Ramadan. Protein comes from chicken. That's lean protein, very healthy protein. It can come from fish. It can come for any meat or even vegetables like lentils or other vegetables which include different complex proteins. But the easiest way to have protein and the most delicious way to have protein is to have maybe grilled chicken. Try not to fry the chicken or try not to use a lot of oil. And if you're looking to use oil, try to use virgin oil, a virgin olive oil. The reason why, because it is good for your heart. It does not really affect your cholesterol level, and you don't want that, because when you haven't had food for the entire day and when you're having food later, when you have oil, I know the feeling, it makes you feel bloated. It doesn't give you a good feeling, because that's the last thing you want when you break your fast. So at iftar time, try not to have oily foods. Target foods which are grilled, which are oven baked. The best thing to do is to grill some fish, some chicken with instant carbohydrates, as I've mentioned before. Some salad. You will feel very good about yourself. You will feel energetic. Rounding that up, what I normally do is, after having my dates, I'll have one lean piece of chicken, about 300 grams of chicken breast, which will feed roughly two people, should give you about 70 grams of protein. Now that's already half of your protein intake. We will talk more about that in our next episode as to what level of protein you need to have. So let's look forward to that. Thank you. صلوا عليه اللهم صل على محمد وصح محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
Today we said that Quran is the source of provision and blessing in this month of Ramadan. And in fact, Quran is the table and sufra of Allah, around which the guests of Allah would sit down and enjoy its benefits. And we also realize that we have to prepare ourselves to be able to read this book and understand its contents. We have to purify our souls and minds to be able to understand and comprehend what it contains. And we also said we need to teach our children about this Quran. Let's ask Allah, as we are told to do so by our Prophet, to grant us the opportunity to read this Quran, understand its contents, and act upon it. Allahumma shrah bil Qur'ana sadri, wasta'mil bil Qur'ana badani, wa nabbar bil Qur'ana basari. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.